You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, we're talking with Catherine Kfeller. Catherine is in southern France right now. Catherine, thanks so much for talking with me today.
Hi, Brainerd. Thanks for inviting me. I'm very happy to talk with you today.
Let's talk about your work. What is it that you're, to jump right into it, what is it that you're working on now in your studio or preparing for?
Well, first, I will answer you by telling you about my main project of the year, 2015, which was quite a special year for me. First, I had at least, 12 exhibitions at the same time. But my main project, which for once lasts for a whole year, 2015, is an invitation from the Zentrum Paul Klee in Bern, the artist Paul Klee. He was born in Bern, which is the capital of Switzerland, and he died in Bern. So the architect Renzo Piano, I'm sure you know him, Italian architect living in Paris, he has made a fantastic building for Paul Klee. It's a museum for him, especially for him, and the shape is quite exquisite. It's like three waves or three hills. You can decide if it's hills or waves, and they're emerging from the earth, from the landscape, so it's really amazing. It's made out of structure of not of wood, of comment dit, du métal. It's a wonderful museum, 10,000 square meters, so it's quite big. And the director, he wanted to invite a contemporary artist so that people think, well, it's not only about Paul Klee, it's also about contemporary art. So he invited me to really to inhabit the museum. He told me, well, you have the whole museum for you, except the two specific exhibition rooms for Paul Klee. But you can do anything you want in the landscapes because there's a big park surrounding the museum and also inside the museum. So he told me, I just want to invite you. I don't know what to ask you, but I just want to invite you. That's my idea. I said, okay, don't worry, I will think about it. And then I wrote a project of, 100 pages for him. And I proposed all kind of, crazy ideas, mixing radio, text, installation of, little notes, we call it post-it in French, or, for example, performances, photography, video, design, doing things at night. So anything I thought about it, I proposed, and the director said, okay, I agree, you can do anything you want. So he was very, very open. So I could really inhabit this museum. I have prepared my interventions for a whole year in 2014. And I could really live in the museum night and day, really. So I could have very crazy ideas. And every time I got there, I had new ideas, new perspective, new orientation. So I could really invent a real dialogue between me as a contemporary artist, a woman artist today, and with Paul Klee. So I really tried to make a dialogue with him, because I read his books, all his thoughts about art. I looked at his paintings, his drawings. He was also a professor at the Bauhaus, so I also looked at his courses. So in all this, then I created all kind of interventions between photography, video. I also installed a radio in the toilets, and I also have made a new audio guide in French, Italian, English, and German. All kind of things.
It's wonderful. I want to ask you more about those specific projects, but just to ask you a little bit more about the beginning of this, because there's a few things that are kind of extraordinary. When I was in France, what always amazed me is that there are these museums built for individual artists, which
absolutely.
I don't know if that happens anywhere else in the world, but I've never seen it anywhere else, or not very often. And also to be given that opportunity that seems so open-ended to do what you want.
Absolutely.
Were you also, was there funding from that? Was that from the cultural ministry that was supporting you doing this project for a year?
Yes, in fact, it's a Swiss museum, and so they have a lot of fund for that. So it was very generous for them to help me. So they have produced all the technical cost, and also me as an artist, I also paid for that. So it was very encouraging. I really felt respected as an artist, because usually you are invited and people think an artist lives from, as we say in French, from hair and love, or water and love, and this is really a real respect for the work. So, and all the technicians were very professional, very competent, so it was really my most fantastic project so far. It was really wonderful. But you know,
I love that, and I want to ask you about the specifics of that. But just to ask you that French phrase, you said that's kind of like artists are expected to live on water and love.
Voilà, d'amour et d'eau fraîche. Fresh water and love, that's what we say in French. Do you say that in English?
Well, we understand that in English. We don't have that
okay.
same phrase, but we're,
well,
we're used to, of course. Our artists have residencies, or they have shows in museums or nonprofit centers, and they get paid nothing or very little often.
Okay. No, I cannot say that. Frankly, it was very, very wonderful.
Mm. So,
but you know,
let's
you
talk
said
about
you don't
some
see
of the
that.
First projects that happened there.
Yeah.
Come, tell me... So we can visualize them.
Okay, the
there was
first
the audio
project.
Tours.
Yeah, the audio tour is my favorite because it lasts a whole hour, and I could really, really say all I wanted to say about art, about ideas. It's quite philosophical because you know I didn't want to make a documentary or traditional audio guide. I really wanted to do something different, and really do suggestions about poetry and helping people, helping visitors to look at a museum as if you could catch some artistic thought just everywhere. You know, for example, I would tell you to take the elevator and to dream while you are taking the elevator, or I would tell you to go in the park because there's a big street with cars just in front of the museum. So I would tell you to go there, to listen to the noise of the cars, and then go back to the museum where it's very silent. And, you know, these kind of things I'm telling you in the audio guide. So it's more about sensations, perceptions, thoughts, very inner thoughts, personal thoughts, and it's not really about, you know, making you look at paintings. It's more about you as a human being, as a human dreaming, as a physical being. You go into a museum, you walk in this big museum with three waves, you know, 10,000 square feet. You walk, you go inside, you go outside, you go on the first floor, you go on the basement. You go in the toilets, you go in the wardrobe, you put your bags, you put your shirts, your hats, and you think about all these things. For example, you know, it's always interesting to look at wardrobes in a museum. So, for example, I make you think about that. I make you look at a wardrobe. I make you think about how you choose a number where you put your bags. Or I make you look at, if it's a raining day, how people put their clothes. What does it say about the unconscious feelings? For example, you can see how you leave your coats, how you leave your bags, how you leave your scarf. And this tells you, it's like an unconscious portrait of a visitor. So this is my audio guide. It's very unusual, and I want people to think about their own experience of being a visitor. Because today, I think it's quite an experience to be a visitor. You know, the museum is maybe the new secret places. It replaces the maybe a museum is a new church. So I think it's very important to make people think about what they're doing when they're visiting a museum. And also people who work in the museum, they often tell me, you know, when someone enter a museum, they want to leave out of themselves all their own responsibility, all their own decisions, and they really expect from the people's museum to be guided, you know, to be oriented. So I really take this in the literal senses. And me, as an artist, I want to guide these people who enter the museum. And I want to be a poetical guide and guide you in your thoughts. So I really enjoy doing this audio guide. But
I
your
love
first
that.
Question
so,
was...
To me, the audio guide is also, it's not just about the, you know, it is about the audience experience. But to me, it sounds like you're also bringing people into the artist experience, the idea of
absolutely,
artists,
yeah, that's
you know,
what it
making
yeah.
work, where maybe they're taught in museums to look at art and what did Paul Klee mean and what is this about and these colors, but to really understand what it means to make art, it seems it's important to understand how artists see the world and in a very beautiful, performative and I would say poetic way, it sounds like you're introducing them to what it's like to look through the eyes of an artist.
Yeah, you're right. To look through the eyes of Paul Klee, because I quote him a lot in this audio guide, you know, because since I've read all his books, and I must tell you that Paul Klee is also a writer, he's also a poet. It's one of the best writers as a visual artist. So I like to quote him. I also like to quote the architect, Renzo Piano, who talks wonderfully about his building. he makes a lot of images, he makes a lot of metaphors. So it's really a three dialogues between Paul Klee, the museum as an institution, and the architect, Renzo Piano, and also the landscape surrounding us. So it's really deep, in fact. And I would say it's also philosophical, because it makes you think about what it is to this experience, art, landscape, museum, looking at things, taking things inside of you, how it travels inside your brain. So it's really fascinating, I must tell you. It was also a work of writing, because I had to write. It's like little chapters. You know, I choose, I don't know, 100 spots in the museum, outside and inside, and each spot is like a chapter. It's like a novel. So I really enjoyed doing that a lot. And I could also be very playful with invisible things, because, you know, Paul Klee like to play with invisible things, invisible thoughts, invisible perceptions, also in a symbolic way. So I also play with all invisible concepts in this audio guide. So I wish you could come, because there's an English
version.
I wish
I would come, too. I'd like to come. I mean, it sounds so playful, as well as, you know, provocative and educational. Let's talk about some of the other things you did there. So that was the audio tour, which seems that would have been enough for a whole year.
Yeah, exactly. This was the sound. And since we're in the sound theme, I also made in the toilet, because, of course, in Switzerland, the toilets are wonderful. So when you go to the toilet, usually it lasts 5 minutes. So I also want to accompany you while you are in the toilet. So I made a little sound piece, which I called
Radio. But wait a minute, before you tell me, why are the toilets so wonderful in Switzerland?
They're very luxurious. You just want to lay down and read a book, because I don't know why they're so luxurious.
Sorry to ask for details on this, but it's so different than a normal toilet? Is it very comfortable? What is so different?
It's comfortable. No, because I live between Paris and Switzerland, and I must tell you, in Paris, I don't know if you've been in any bars or restaurants, the toilets are always so ugly and I don't know, and dirty.
Yes.
And so in Switzerland, it's just a contrast. So that's why I wanted to spend more time. So that people spend more time, and since you are doing your radio interview, it may sound something to you. So in this toilet, I created a little sound piece which I called Radio ZPK. It lasts 5 minutes, and during these 5 minutes, I speak as if I was a journalist in a very monotonous tone. And what I say is these things. I try to spot every little detail and action that people do in the museum. For example, I would tell you, okay, it's 2 o'clock, and a strange guy is talking on the phone for 5 minutes, and he has a red coat. Then after, this man gives a little piece of paper to a woman. This woman buys a ticket to go to the museum. In the cafeteria, there's a very odd people, and they talk together in Russian. On the other side of the cafeteria, a young guy is working on his laptop. You know, things like that, very, very total banal things. But when you see each of them one after the other, then it builds like a suspicious novel, you know, like Agatha Christie, I would say. So you know, it's funny. So, and then in the end, the conclusion is, it's 3 o'clock, and the wind is coming, you know, something like that. So this was the sound part. Then the visual things, you know, Paul Klee, his watercolors, they are really structured by transparent layers. So I wanted to play with that, and since as a photographer I also work with layers and transparency, especially my series in New York, then I tried to combine Paul Klee's watercolors and my own photographs on the city of Bern, because there's a big exhibition on Paul Klee and Bern right now, his own city. So I made extremely big composition, like, for example, 5 meters, and I superimposed my own photograph with Paul Klee's watercolors. So these are really like big paintings. And this was installed on a big, big wall which has the shape of a hill, of a wave. And these big, big, big compositions were then printed on canvas, and then they're hanging on this big wall, which is, you know, 50 meters big wall. So this is a big intervention as well. Then I've also made video diptych, which are running a whole year as well. Then I've also made a performance because there was a big
Okay, but before you say about the performance, I want to hear the performance. But what was the video diptych that's running?
The video diptych was also about the city of Bern. It was a commission because since I've worked a lot of about the city on New York and the big cities, then I transformed Bern, which is quite a small city, you know, comparatively with New York. But I tried to transform Bern as if it was New York. So it's very busy. It's very saturated, it's very colorful, many people, a lot of traffic. So Bern has been transformed into a New York City atmosphere. You know, this is a diptych video, for example. And this is also on the walls of the museum. Then I can tell you about another performance.
Yes,
as I told you, I like poetry words. So can you say in English, you know what a post-it is?
Yes, of course.
Okay, so I call this performance the Festival of Post-it. And it has lasted maybe a whole week, but it was especially for a special day because we have celebrated the 10 years of the Central Paul Klee in May. So for this special day, I've written in English, French, German, and Italian, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of post-it. It can be quotation of Paul Klee, it can be my own sensations being an artist or my own sensation being visitors. And they are just all over the window because the museum has many windows, very transparent. So we have put hundreds of post-it on the whole museum, a whole wall with all these colors. It was like insect. And so it was very wonderful. And then, of course, I invited visitors to participate. So we have put piles of these post-it papers with pencils, and people were invited to write their own sensation of, you know, their own experience as visitors. So it was very good because they reacted very well, and the messages were very poetic. You know, you could think maybe it's going to be cool or aggressive, or but it was a very nice thoughts they wrote, very poetical and very personal as well. So it was quite. This is I call it. In performance participative, a participative performance, which means I do it, but then I invite people to continue the work. So it was like a work in progress. Well, this is
I love that. I love that. Yeah. And was there more that you did there, or does that complete the intervention
no,
that you
was,
did there?
No, there was another performance. We have La Nuit des Musées, Night Museum. I'm sure you had that in New York as well. This was in March. And it's very, very, very crowded. So I thought I had to play with the crowd and with the movement of the crowd. So I've installed my own studio in the middle of the museum at night, my camera, my tripod, my microphone, and I was dressed in a special way, you know, in a very nighty way, seductive way, with a wig. Mm. And my own camera, big camera, was filming the real situation of the crowd coming and going, but only the legs, only the feet and the legs, so that it's not personal. And then what was filming by my own camera was directly transmitted live in all the flat screens that were all over the museum. You know, maybe we had 15 flat screens all over the museum in different places, so that people were provoked. What is it? I mean, they could recognize their own movement of the legs. It was quite abstract. It's like a dance. So they could recognize something familiar, but not quite, because it was not very clear. It was not documentary. It was not.
But wait, I don't understand exactly. At night, you're set up there, and these cameras.
Yes.
I thought they're photographing yourself and projecting them to all these. No.
No. I was photographing. I mean, I was filming the crowd, the visitors coming and going, because it was a very crowded night. So I'm here standing with my camera in my hand, with my tripod. I'm filming, and then what I'm filming is transmitted live on the flat screen in the museum.
That is clear.
And the title, well, because each of my interventions had a title, and the title was "Une filmeuse aux aides piqueurs," which would be a filmmaker in the middle of the museum, something like that. You know, it was as if I had a moving studio. You know, I have a studio, but instead of being in my home studio at home, it's a studio installed in the museum. So I'm working live. We could say that. I'm working live. And what I'm filming is directly seen by the visitors. and themselves. It's their own movement. Because I
and
always
how,
think
and what that, is the reaction to that? Now that's clear. And so there's this kind of feedback loop almost happening all the time.
Yeah, with a slight delay, you know, maybe a two minutes delay. And the most reactive people were, of course, the children. So they liked to play a lot with me. It was very, very joyful with the children, I must say. Because they were the ones who understood very quickly what was happening, you know. The others were more shy, I would say.
Yeah, that's so often the case. I had a child I was bringing around to museums, and he did everything right away. Adults sometimes are much more hesitant.
They do not dare, and they don't want to have fun, you know. They're too serious, I think. So you have to provoke them a little bit. If you're gentle, it's okay. It's very gentle what I'm doing. I'm not provoking them in an aggressive or intimate way. I try to be gentle, and sometimes being gentle, being smooth is the best way to contact people, really, because you want to do something good.
Yeah, I think so. And then what was that the extent of everything you did in that year in that museum?
No, there was, you know what, there were 15 different things. Another thing, I like to be as a guinea pig, you know. I think being an artist is a very interesting issue today, what it means to be an artist. So I like to be a guinea pig myself. And I've also installed in different places at a different time. I've also installed with technicians my real studio with a printer, with my computer, with my own work. And in big, we have installed like a booth, like when you see in the art fair, a big booth. And on the walls, I have put all my work, all my text, all my thoughts, all what I'm doing. And I was also here a whole day at disposal, available, and people could come and talk with me about what I'm doing. And I would ask them, for example, I have printed the whole audio guide, and I would ask them, okay, what is your favorite chapter? Just tell me what you prefer. And then I would print, for example, the text of this chapter of the audio guide. I would give this to them, and I would tell them, okay, I give you something. Small thing, it's a text. So please, you give me something as well, as something improvised. What do you have in your pocket? What do you have in your bag? And just give me something. It could be, you know, a sweet. It could be a pencil. It could be a sheet of paper. It could be the entry ticket, something, anything. And, you know, as a symbol of the moment we have shared together. So it was very interesting because it was very lively. And at that time, people were not at all shy. They were ready to play the game. Maybe because I asked them to choose a chapter of the audio guide so they had to read the whole thing. And then I printed with my printer, which was installed for them. And then they gave me something. And then they wrote me an email, oh, you know what, the sheet you gave me now is on my fridge, or it's on by my bed, and I read it at night. It's you know, it's doing their own path. So it's continuing. I mean, that's interesting. So this was also a good project, yeah. And I
so
called
that was
it
a wonderful
also a title.
Year.
Yes, and this title was Artist at Work, because it's also a title of Paul Klee's painting, Artist at Work. And so I played my role, I played my profession. So it's also questioning what it means to be an artist and how an artist works. What does an artist the whole day, because people, they don't know what we do, right?
Right.
So
well, it's also wonderful because you're immersed in the writing of Paul Klee too. So,
exactly.
You know, that
so
seems to have colored everything.
It's inspiring, of course, and that's the main thing. And we can talk about it as well. It's a common experience we all have. Sorry, I talk too much, but you know, I have been so enthusiastic about this project, so I wanted to share it with you.
It's very exciting. I'm glad you did. No, I really want to hear that much about it. It seems that it's a great project to talk about because that's what you do. You work in all these different mediums and approach things in your own way. And it seems to me the project that you're describing at the museum is also a way of talking about how you approach your work in multiple mediums.
I like the way you understand that. Yeah, it's fantastic. You haven't seen it, but you understand it very completely. Also because I thought the director invites me, so I have to answer to his invitation. And me, I work with all this contemporary medium, you're right. But Paul Klee, he was also multimedia, if I can say, because he writes, he played music, he was a violinist, he was teaching, he was doing painting, watercolor, printmaking, he was also scientific. So he was also multi-oriented, so I had to answer that. And my role is to bring Paul Klee into our contemporary world. What would he do with the post-it, with the iPhone, with the audio guide? How would he react? So I was like a fantasy. I was trying to answer what would Paul Klee do today. So this was my role, I would say.
That's fantastic. It's such a wonderful project. I could talk to you about this for another hour, but I think I want to just close the interview by asking you a little bit about so what's next. And I hope all the listeners will go see that museum. There'll be links to it, and I would like to visit that museum. It's such an exciting project.
If you come, I'm your personal guide. If you come, just let me know. I make you a personal tour. Okay.
Okay. So tell us, what is it that is happening now? So that was such a big project. Now, where did that leave you, and what are you working on at the moment?
Well, now I'm working on different projects. First, I'm working on a book project, because so far I've been doing many, 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 many exhibitions all over the world, and I didn't really take time to make a real serious book. So I'm making a book which retraces, 30 years of work, and I'm trying to combine in this book photography, images and text, because as an artist, I always write. I call this, working notes or work notes, because I need to tell people why I'm doing what I'm doing. And when I'm photographing or when I'm filming, I always have words which come into me and I write them down. So now I have to order all these little notes, which are all over my little books, and I have to. Yeah, I can see the book. On the left-hand side you have the text, and on the right-hand side you have the images. So I'm trying to combine text and images, but in a very playful way, in a very vivid way. It has to be very lively. I don't want something academic. I don't want to be an art historian. I want to be an artist which expresses herself with video images, still images, video stills, and also with words. But it's poetical words. It's as if you could really enter my brain and you have access to words and you have access to video. So I have to find a rhythm and have to do this book like a movie. It's like about montage, editing than a real academic book. So I have to find a way. So it's a big work because it's over 30 years of creation. And another project, I'm invited in China, in Beijing, Shanghai, and Guangzhou, to make a kind of portrait of people and cities and landscapes and how I relate to that. So that's for next year, for example.
That's very exciting. You have a lot to look forward to next year. You sound very busy.
Oh, yeah, I'm always busy.
Catherine, thank you so much for talking with me today. I've really, really enjoyed this.
Thanks, Brenda, for listening to me so carefully and understanding everything so spontaneously. Thanks a lot. It's a big support and it's a big joy for me as well.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.